What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors, with more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Back to the BS. Powered by Sky River Casino. Sky's the limit. On 98 Rock.
Here is the adult sex tape you ordered, Senor Control. I will bring it to your room. Would you like me to bring up any more?
No. You are even more sexier than Meg described.
Oh, thank you.
I was not talking to you. I was talking to him.
Screw off. I'm joking, man.
Where's your lovely wife this evening?
She's got a little too much sun, so she decided to crash out early.
Are you sure it was the sun that made her tired and not you, eh?
Screw off. Welcome back. It's the BS. Thanks for listening. My name's Jason Bailey. Right there is Nikki D. There is Nelson in the studio. One of our favorites, Carlos Mencia. He will be at the Punchline starting tonight. He got one show this evening, two shows tomorrow, Friday, and two shows on Saturday. Carlos, good to see you again, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. Yeah. It was fun to listen to that.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's
so bizarre.
Last time I saw you, too, that's all I wanted to talk about was Uncle Tito. And, you know, and I don't understand, even with these years passing from the Heartbreak Kid with Ben Stiller, is that how Uncle Tito never got a spinoff of that movie. I have no idea.
You know, it's funny. I have to say, screw off, I'm joking, at least 10 times a week still.
Yeah. You stole the show. You stole the scene.
No, I'm serious. Like, people would be like, come on, say it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, screw off, I'm joking.
Right.
And it's like, they're like, yes! You know what I mean?
Because you, I mean, again, there's certain movies that you watch. Like, my wife and I were just watching that the other night. I didn't even know we were going to have you in. And, you know, that's you're our favorite part.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, again, that was 2007. So you're looking at 16 years ago. People are still coming to your shows like they will at the Punchline this weekend and asking you to do that. This is where you strike where the iron's hot. Nostalgia is a thing right now, Carlos.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, I have to say Titiri at least 50 times.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I rarely say it anymore in my act. Uh-huh. It's not that I don't not do it on purpose. It's just, you know, as a comedian, I don't do two shows. If you were to come to every single show this week, you will not see two shows the same.
Right.
So I just can't, you know, I don't want to belittle any other comedian, but I don't want to be doing the same joke for 20 years. I don't want to be that guy who's like, come on, titty. I don't want to be that guy. But then at the end of the show, everybody's like, you got to say it, bro. So then I'm like, yeah, I don't mind. It's just, you know, I don't want that to be the signature move of Carlos Mencia. Yeah, I want to be non-predictable still.
But don't you kind of have to, I mean, I'm sure it's tough for you. It's that charcoal gray area, right? It's kind of like a rock band that they know they've got to play. Guns N' Roses knows that they have to play Sweet Child O' Mine. I'm sure Axl Rose and Slash at times like, dude, oh my God, again? You know, I want to play that one that we never play off Chinese Democracy that no one's ever heard.
Right.
Right. But you've got comedians are the same thing, especially someone that has had the success you've had.
Yeah, except after about two to three times live of whatever the bit is, they want to hear something. So for us, it's not about the actual joke. It's about the funny.
Yeah.
So that's the difference, right? So for us, it's just like, keep being funny. Keep being you. Keep coming at it from your Chris Rock perspective, from your Carlos Mencia perspective, you know, from your Chappelle perspective, from your Kevin Hart perspective. It's from that place that people, when people turn on us, is when we go from being one kind of comic to another, right? It's when Dennis Miller goes from being left to right side of comic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when people leave you. He got more fans, but the fans that he had were like, "Oh, you're that guy now. We don't like you." That's when they get mad at you.
That's when Garth Brooks goes to Chris Gaines and everybody has a problem with it.
Exactly. So for us, it's all about being authentic.
Yeah. So do you get more people that come up to you from prior shows? You know, it's because like last time that we saw each other, I was in Atlanta, you know, and I saw you at the Punchline there.
Right.
And you do a fantastic job. Like I said, you're one of my favorites. And do you get more from people going, give me Mina Mencia? Do you give me more from Heartbreak Kid? Do you get me more from I saw you in Tuscaloosa one time? Do you remember that one bit that you did? What do you get more of?
I think I get more of keep doing what you're doing right now. Because nobody's really, you know, I don't care if you like me anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a blessing and a, you know what I mean?
God
and a
bless
curse.
You. God bless you. I love
right, because
that.
I'm a comedian.
Right.
So you're not worried about being canceled.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments, Maurice's.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I need people to like me. Right? Like, right. I need people right now to be like, I like this guy. I'm going to go see him. Right? I need him. I need people to be like, you know what? He doesn't sound like the a-hole people say he is online. I'm going to go see him. You know what I mean? But I'm saying, I'm tired of people treating comedy as if we're philosophers. Mm-hmm. We're not.
Yeah.
We're comedians.
Yeah.
It is a joke.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. But if you get offended at the truth, I'm sorry. It's not my fault. That's on you, not on me. Like, I hate the hypocrisy of if you go to an LGBTQ show, they say all the jokes and all the words that the rest of us can't use.
Right.
Go to an urban show, they drop the N-bomb
right,
as if it was candy, but none of us can laugh or talk about. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in I have to be a Latino and do a Latino show to talk about Latino stuff. I gotta be gay. Is this what the new future of comedy is? So I'm gonna all right. So in order to do all the material that I'm gonna do tonight, my wife is white, but she's of European descent from Portugal, so I can make fun of them. Now I gotta get one side girl who's half black and half Middle Eastern, so I can make fun of those two groups. Then another one who's half Asian and half Indian to make fun of those.
Right.
Awesome. Then I have to go down on a transgender so that I could get that. So that when I go on stage and I go, hey, I got this joke about this gay guy, I'd be like, oh my God, no, like a picture of me doing another guy comes out. And then, oh no, he's cool, he's okay.
And it's almost like you have to have a resume and say, well, I've done this before. It's like the I have a black friend thing. You know, before you say what you, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but.
That's a really good idea for just a show. You know what I mean? Like.
I'm going to line up my resume of friends.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
They're all here tonight, so you can see that I can get away with these specific.
Yes.
So the
it's what used to be way back in the day when white people would look around and go, you know, I do have black friends.
Right.
And
that's what I'm saying.
Would say whatever they were going to say. So was it?
So the Matt Rife stuff, you heard about that with his special, and he's getting beat up.
I can't talk about that kind of stuff. What? Because I've been accused of so much. That I don't want to lean into putting down other comics just because it's hard enough being a comedian. You know what I mean? I don't want, like, I'm the first person the internet ever tried to cancel. That's not easy to deal with. Like, that's hard.
Right.
Like, that's literally, like, right now, I guarantee you, if I put, hey, listen to the show, I'm on it right now. By the time I leave, I'll show you, like, whose jokes is he stealing? Like, it's just going to happen.
Right.
All the hate, all this stuff. He's not Mexican, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't want to put that on anybody else. But, you know, look, when you, first of all, he told a joke that's, sorry, I was asked. But he told an old joke.
Right.
A joke that I think Dave Chappelle did. Right? With the two black eyes.
Yeah.
Well, into a bar.
It's a meme.
She doesn't listen.
Yeah, it's a meme.
Right?
Right, yeah.
No. Before it was a meme.
Sure.
Listen, young people. Before your stupid ass phone and your memes that you think you invented the world. No, we actually had language and ways to communicate back in the day. Yeah, before the internet, somehow somebody said this was off the chain. And by the way, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month later, everybody understood what off the hook and off the chain meant.
Right.
We didn't need the internet to spread the news for us. And not to say that it's a bad thing, but, you know, come on, man. There was stuff before that. But he told the joke, which was, you know, what do you tell a woman with two black eyes? Nothing. Right. You already told her twice.
Right.
Like, this is an old joke.
Yeah.
But he's not even getting attacked for it being a lame joke. He's getting attacked for the misogyny of it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. The domestic violence.
Domestic violence. That's the thing. It's a joke. He didn't punch anybody. He probably didn't even meet that woman with the black eye.
Right.
He probably made it up.
Yeah.
And here's
that's what we do. Our job is not to tell you truths. Our job is to make you laugh.
Embellish.
If we can tell you truth.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's why guys like Richard Pryor are considered the GOAT.
Yeah.
Because he was able to do multi-layered. He was able to give you a message, take you on a journey, right? Use the language to expand on it and then make you laugh and make you think and make you ponder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But our job is just to make people laugh.
When he told that joke, you know, and it's been, you're right, it's been around forever. I mean, forever and ever. I mean, like, decades old joke. But it was more of the story that he was telling. I know that there's a punchline, and that's the punchline. But it was the story. Like, you're a storyteller. You know, those are the great comics tell stories.
The punchline was, she doesn't cook, because if she did, she probably wouldn't have a black eye. Like, that was his version of it.
But it was secondary to the story. And that's what the point I'm making is that he didn't come out there and the whole setup was to get to that point. It was the point that I can't believe they had this woman representing the restaurant or the hotel. The joke was secondary. It was actually, I thought, pretty clever. It wasn't like, I'm setting everybody up for the old joke. I'm going to use the old joke to finish my story. That's the way I saw it.
Right.
So, I mean.
No, I got you. Listen, it's still a joke.
Yeah, it's still a joke.
It's just a joke.
Right.
It's not like, you know what? That is why watch my stand-up specials and then watch anything that I post, and they're never the same. You know why? Because that's why I never got on Twitter. Because Twitter never allowed me the ability to put in the nuance of what I'm saying.
Right.
Right? To put in the little tiny thing that needs to go in there.
Yeah.
So when you clip, you know, stuff to 1 minute, the stuff that goes out is the heart of the joke. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with this kind of stuff.
Are you still surprised?
And that's the problem.
Are you still surprised? You had mentioned, you know, like still the you know, for years ago, you know, with the Rogan stuff and the joke stealing, and you had just mentioned that, like, after all these years, people still come back to you on that? Like, that's all they think of or remember? Even with the Comedy Store, did you see the docuseries or whatever on Showtime? I mean, like, they brought it back all up to fruition.
Yeah, what bothers me is that they never call me to ask me to be a part of it.
I was surprised.
Everybody talks about me like I'm some, but I don't care anymore. You know what? Like, for me, it's like, look, you know what? You want to live in the past? Go live in the past.
Yeah.
I just put out a special. Go check that out. You know what I mean? Come and see me perform live. That's where I'm at. Because what I've realized is people that want to hate.
Yep.
That's where they live. Like, dude, this happened last week, literally. So there, I have a friend. His name is Juan Villarreal. Here's a story. I saw him perform early 90s. And I was like, man, this is the funniest dude I've ever seen. So when I got my HBO special, I did a show called Loco Slam. Mm-hmm. It was like me bringing up Latino comedians. And I said, we got to have this kid on. And so I put him on. About 6 months, 3 months after the show airs, he calls me up and he goes, Carlos, are you going to be performing in Corpus Christi anytime soon? I was like, I don't know why. He goes, because I don't have 45 minutes, and they offered me $3,000 to do a headlining gig, and I can't say no to that. I'm like, good for you. So what are you calling me for? I pretty much did your act, because that's all I know. So I didn't know what to do. And I was like, wait, what did you do? He's like, I did, dude, I love you. I go, I know, but what did you do? He goes, I did your act. I did these jokes. And he told me all my jokes. And I was like, you know what, dude, you're young. It's what happens. It's cool. I should move on from those jokes anyway, because I had already put those on a special.
Uh-huh.
So once they go on a special, I burn them. Right. So it doesn't matter to me. So anyway, cut to this. This was a... So cut to last week.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with him. I hear him around the corner talking to a guy. This guy says to him, how can you be with Carlos? That dude stole your act. I saw it.
Wow.
And so here's my buddy goes, dude, that's not what happened. I stole his act. I pretended to be him.
Yeah.
He's my mentor. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be who I am. And he knew that I did it. I called him and he never even told me anything bad. That's how nice of a guy. That's how cool he is. He just said, I'm going to write more stuff, whatever. And then the guy goes, whatever. I hit his ass anyway. I'm like, oh my God. What do I got to do?
Was this a fellow comic?
No.
Just
some person.
Yeah, just some
person. Comedians, I understand why they hate me. Because basically what happened was, you know, I got bumped when I was young as a comic.
Yeah.
But that was the rite of passage, right?
Yeah.
Robin Williams showed up. Ah, he's going to go on forever, you know? Robert show up. Oh, he's going to go on forever. Dice is here. He's going to do an hour. So when I was young, I had a 10 o'clock spot. I'm going on at 12 o'clock midnight every night. And I worked at the stores. I didn't care. I was like, oh, these are the rules? I'm an immigrant. Yeah. Okay, let's play by the rules. What happened was, by the time I became popular, which was, you know, mid-2000s where I really hit, it was all millennials who had been given participation trophies.
Yeah.
Who didn't, they didn't understand. Wait. No. I'm on the schedule. I'm on the schedule. Yeah, but that's Carlos Mencia. He has a show. He's going to go on before you. Yeah, no, but he has to call in. At that point, they didn't respect that. They didn't look at it that way. So I look at it like, I joined a fraternity. I love my brothers.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Representing the restaurant or the hotel, the joke was secondary. It was actually, I thought, pretty clever. It wasn't like, I'm setting everybody up for the old joke. I'm going to use the old joke to finish my story. That's the right way I saw it.
Right.
So, I mean.
No, I got you. Listen, it's still a joke.
Yeah,
it's still a joke. It's just a joke.
Right.
It's not like, you know what? That is why. Watch my stand-up specials and then watch anything that I post. And they're never the same. You know why? Because that's why I never got on Twitter. Because Twitter never allowed me the ability to put in the nuance of what I'm saying.
Right.
Right? To put in the little tiny thing that needs to go in there.
Yeah.
So when you clip, you know, stuff to 1 minute, the stuff that goes out is the heart of the joke. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with this kind of stuff.
Are you still surprised?
That's the problem.
Are you still surprised? You had mentioned, you know, like still for years ago, you know, with the Rogan stuff and the joke stealing, and you had just mentioned that, like, after all these years, people still come back to you on that? Like, that's all they think of or remember? Even with the Comedy Store, did you see the docuseries or whatever on Showtime? I mean, like, they brought it back all up to fruition.
Yeah, what bothers me is that they never call me to ask me to be a part of it.
I was surprised.
Everybody
at that.
Talks about me like I'm some, but I don't care anymore. You know what? Like, for me, it's like, look, you know what? You want to live in the past? Go live in the past.
Yeah.
I just put out a special. Go check that out. You know what I mean? Come and see me perform live. That's where I'm at. Because what I've realized is people that want to hate.
Yep.
That's where they live. Like, dude, this happened last week. Literally. So there, I have a friend. His name is Juan Villarreal. Here's the story. I saw him perform early 90s. And I was like, man, this is the funniest dude I've ever seen. So when I got my HBO special, I did a show called Loco Slam. Mm-hmm. It was like me bringing up Latino comedians. And I said, we got to have this kid on. And so I put him on. About 3 months after the show airs, he calls me up and he goes, Carlos, are you going to be performing in Corpus Christi anytime soon? I was like, I don't know why. He goes, because I don't have 45 minutes, and they offered me $3,000 to do a headlining gig, and I can't say no to that. I'm like, good for you. So what are you calling me for? I pretty much did your act, because that's all I know, so I didn't know what to do. And I was like, was like, wait, what did you do? He's like, I did, dude, I love you. I go, I know, but what did you do? He goes, I did your act. I did these jokes. And he told me all my jokes. And I was like, you know what, dude, you're young. It's what happens. It's cool. I should move on from those jokes anyway, because I had already put those on a special. So once they go on a special, I burn them. Right. So it doesn't matter to me. So anyway, cut to this. This was a, so cut to last week.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with him. I hear him around the corner talking to a guy. This guy says to him, how can you be with Carlos? That dude stole your act. I saw it.
Wow.
And so here's, my buddy goes, dude, that's not what happened. I stole his act. I pretended to be him.
Yeah.
He's my mentor. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be who I am. And he knew that I did it. I called him and he never even told me anything bad. That's how nice of a guy. That's how cool he is. He just said, I'm going to write more stuff, whatever. And then the guy goes, whatever. I hit his ass anyway. I'm like, oh, my God. Wow. What do I got to do?
Was this nothing? A fellow comic?
No.
Just
a
dude.
A fan? Just some person.
Yeah, just some
comedians,
person.
Comedians, I understand why they hate me. Because basically what happened was, you know, I got bumped when I was young as a comic.
Yeah.
But that was the rite of passage, right?
Yeah.
Robin Williams showed up. Ah, he's going to go on forever. You know, Robert show up. Oh, he's going to go on forever. Dice is here. He's going to do an hour. So when I was young, I had a 10 o'clock spot. I'm going on at 12 o'clock midnight every night. And I worked at the stores. I didn't care. I was like, oh, these are the rules. I'm an immigrant. Yeah. Okay, let's play by the rules. What happened was by the time I became popular, which was, you know, mid 2000s where I really hit.
Yeah.
It was all millennials who had been given participation trophies.
Yeah.
Who didn't they didn't understand. Wait. No. I'm on the schedule. I'm on the schedule. Yeah, but that's Carlos Mencia. He has a show. He's going to go on before you. Yeah, no, but he has to call in. At that point, they didn't respect that. They didn't look at it that way. So I look at it like I joined a fraternity. I love my brothers. They put a plunger in the part of me that I don't want to say, but hey, we're brothers and this is what happens and we're all down. And I feel like when it came time for me to get the plunger and go, hey guys, bend over, I'm coming. They were like, oh no, we don't do that anymore.
Right.
I'm like, but wait a minute, it happened to me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how like that whole thing went down. So a lot of those guys, like most people that say something bad about me, if you poke at them long enough, they'll go, one time I had a spot at Comedy Store. My mother came to see me perform. And by the time I went on stage, there were only 10 people because Carlos went on forever and my mother didn't see me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I see their pain. I understand it. But back then I was like, fuck up, dude. What is wrong with you? My parents, dude, I've given my parents millions of dollars, bought them a house. You know how many times my mother's actually seen me perform live? Twice.
Twice.
Twice. But, and if you ask her, that's too many. Like that.
And you know, your situation too, Carlos, was, talk about wrong place, wrong time, is that you were going viral before viral went viral with what happened at the comedy. So, I mean, that wasn't a thing really then. So confrontation, like when Rogan came up and then the video got out, TMZ was kind of fresh to the market.
Right.
And so that was, you were something different other than Britney or Paris Hilton, right? They're like, two comedians get into it. And, you know, and even in the docuseries, the Comedy Store, it's they talk about how you were the man at that time. And
I never felt that way.
And Rogan was not, but when he came
up. That's not true, though. People keep saying that. That is not true.
Okay.
He was not. Let us remember. I had a TV show where the best ratings I ever got, 2.2 million people.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Fear Factor.
Right.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
At that time.
Getting 15 million views.
Yeah, but aren't you a little
dude,
bit.
Dude, listen, 2 million, 15 million a week. There's no way that I was as popular as him.
See, now.
And this is, by the way, after news radio.
This is why I would contest that, Carlos, because.
You can contest it.
I will contest
it. The numbers are there.
I'll contest it, and this is why. Because you're comparing apples to oranges when you go with those numbers.
No, he comparing was on, fame. We're comparing fame.
He was on free broadcast television. You were drawing $2.2 million to or 2.2 million viewers to a cable show. Look at what the biggest guys in cable news get. They're not pulling 700,000 people even. So that speaks to how popular you were but among
I'm not saying
the fan base.
No. That's not what we were talking about. What I was saying was I was not more popular than him.
Okay.
You're just saying there's just as many,
because
if not
people,
more.
People, when they bring it up, they make it seem like, oh my God, Carlos was the god, and this poor pauper came up. That's not what happened.
Poor pauper.
That's not who it was. This was a very, very famous guy, you know, who people knew about.
Would you go on his podcast if he asked you?
I have no problem with anybody, dude. Yeah. I never have.
I just see, you know, like, it, you know, because you are.
I didn't break any of those rules.
Right.
Right. Like when I was young as a comic, we dealt with. Oh, here's the irony. Do you remember the incident? I think it was last year where an Asian comedian who was performing in Austin, Texas, posted that the person that went on after him said some racist stuff.
Yeah.
The people in the camp that have been talking so negatively about me, I literally heard a podcast where they went, man, you're supposed to deal with that comic to comic. You don't put it on the internet. These are the same people that for decades have been sitting around talking about me and that incident, which was supposed to stay at the Comedy Store between us. So what it is I was a young, arrogant, cocky kid who came from the hood. And I did, you know, when you grow up in the hood, you don't realize that you have an attitude.
Yeah.
You don't, because everybody has an attitude.
Because it's your environment.
Right? It's your environment. Yep. And plus, listen, what got me in trouble as a comedian is what allowed me to not get shot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right? I had the attitude of, if we're going to fight, kill me.
Yeah.
Because if you don't kill me, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your family, and I'm going to burn your house down.
That's strong.
Because if I'm going to go to jail for life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to jail for killing one person. I'm going to go to jail for killing your whole family.
So that makes sense somewhere.
And when I said stuff like that, people were like, damn, he means it. But yeah, because, you know, I lived in a neighborhood where if a car came by slow, we all had to dive because it was a drive-by.
Right.
You know, I remember I was doing an interview with Nightline way back in the day, and we were in the projects where I grew up, and I go, oh yeah, we used to play right here. And then I remember a few times where they did a drive-by and shot at us. And I said it so casually that they were like, come on. And I was like, no, seriously. They used to shoot. There used to be bullet holes over here. And we went and looked, and I literally went, oh my God, hey, look. And I pulled one out, and there was a bullet stuck into the side of the wall. And I go, oh look, here's one. Here's a bullet. And they were just like, oh my God, this is real. I'm like, yeah, it's real. But they expected me to be like, let me tell you how horrible it was when I was growing up. People were shooting at us. And, I mean, it was part of life.
Yeah.
You know, I've held people, you know, I held a person in my arms when they gave their last breath. I saw a man shoot another man. I saw a dude get a machete and carve up another dude. I mean, I've had a crazy life, dude. And so, you know, when comedy became kind of one of those things where, especially at the Comedy Store where it's dark and there's this feeling of like, we're all trying to get Mitzi Shore's attention. And if she gives us the attention and if I get a good spot and there's a producer, you know what I mean? That competitiveness.
Right.
It was so right up my alley.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I was alienating everybody and hurting everybody's feelings.
Probably a little bit different now with comics and the internet. Instead of trying to impress a Mitzi Shore, you can go like, well, just as long as I get, you know, 100 likes on this or 1,000 likes on this, I should be able to get a deal,
right?
You know, or I mean, you know what, it doesn't even matter because I'm making money, I've monetized my YouTube channel,
right.
So I don't, you know, it's a different world,
but it's a cool world because, you know, I needed a Mitzi Shore or like everybody when I was coming up had a 4-minute clean set, had to have it because that was the 4 minutes that you knew you were going to do if the Tonight Show or Letterman called.
Right, yeah.
Wow. Today, they don't need that. Today, you know, you put a camera back there and you talk to the audience a little bit and you get a 1-minute little clip and you put it out there and where do you live? What do you do for a living? Hey, look at this guy with his shirt, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Put it out there and it works and you bypass everybody. And then you call the comedy club here and go, hey, my name is Jack whatever. My name is Jack Johnson. I want to perform at the club. Who are you?
Love Jack.
Google me. Seriously. Google me.
You don't
and
need
then
a
when they Google
card.
You and they go, oh my God, he has 1.8 million followers on TikTok. Come, we'll give you a Wednesday and a Thursday. Let's see how that works out.
Right.
Bypassing every single thing that I couldn't bypass back in those days because we needed the HBOs to tell us you're going to get a special today. You can shoot your own special and put it on YouTube.
Well, let me say this. I got to cut you off. We got to go. I have mad respect that you're wearing a hat for my buddy Mike Calta. He's a radio personality in Tampa, and I think that's cool when comedians wear the merch from other radio shows. So we'll have to take a picture and send that over to him. I think that's cool. And you didn't even know you were wearing it.
I wear it all the time. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You didn't even know you were wearing it to hear,
though. I did not. You said something about my head. I was like, what are you talking about? I saw it. I just grabbed the hat from the floor and put it on. And look, you could tell, by the way, that I wear it too much.
Oh, it's beat up.
Because you could see the brown sweat line right here.
We're getting hats in next week. I'm going to send you one. All right. At Carlos Mencia online, The Punchline this weekend. Tonight, he's got a show. Tomorrow, two shows. Saturday, two shows. You can go to punchlinesac.com for tickets. And it's a fantastic place. We were just there the other week for the first time since we've been in Sacramento. But thanks for coming in. Thanks for spending the time. It's good to see you again, man. I'm glad that
you too, man.
You're happy.
Glad to see you're kicking butt, dude.
Yeah, well, I have to move across country to continue to do that. But we are here. So anyway, at Carlos Mencia, give him a like, give him a share, give him a follow. Give us a minute. Hang on.
I'm on the schedule. Yeah, but that's Carlos Mencia. He has a show. He's going to go on before you. Yeah, no, but he has to call in. At that point, they didn't respect that. They didn't look at it that way. So I look at it like I joined a fraternity. I love my brothers. They put a plunger in the part of me that I don't want to say, but hey, we're brothers and this is what happens and we're all down. And I feel like when it came time for me to get the plunger and go, hey guys, bend over, I'm coming. They were like, oh no, we don't do that anymore.
Right.
I'm like, but wait a minute, it happened to me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how like that whole thing went down. So a lot of those guys, like most people that say something bad about me, if you poke at them long enough, they'll go, one time I had a spot at Comedy Store, my mother came to see me perform, and by the time I went on stage, there were only 10 people because Carlos went on forever and my mother didn't see me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I see their pain. I understand it. But back then I was like, fuck up, dude. What is wrong with you? My parents, dude, I've given my parents millions of dollars, bought them a house. You know how many times my mother's actually seen me perform live? Twice.
Twice.
Twice. But, and if you ask her, that's too many. Like that.
And you know, your situation too, Carlos, was, talk about wrong place, wrong time, is that you were going viral before viral went viral with what happened at the Comedy. So, I mean, that wasn't a thing really then. So confrontation, like when Rogan came up and then the video got out, TMZ was kind of fresh to the market.
Right.
And so that was, you were something different other than Britney or Paris Hilton, right? They're like two comedians get into it. And, you know, and even in the docuseries, the Comedy Store, they talk about how you were the man at that time. And
I never felt that way.
And Rogan was not, but when he came
up. That's not true though. People keep saying that. That is not true.
Okay.
He was not, let us remember. I had a TV show where the best ratings I ever got, 2.2 million people.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Fear Factor.
Right.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. At
getting
that time.
15 million views.
Yeah, but aren't you a little
dude,
bit.
Dude, listen, 2 million, 15 million a week. There's no way that I was as popular as him.
See, now.
And this is, by the way, after news radio.
This is why I would contest that, Carlos, because
you can contest it.
I will contest
the numbers
it.
Numbers are there.
I'll contest it, and this is why. Because you're comparing apples to oranges when you go with those numbers.
No, he comparing was on, fame. We're comparing fame.
He was on free broadcast television. You were drawing $2.2 million to, or 2.2 million viewers to a cable show. Look at what the biggest guys in cable news get. They're not pulling 700,000 people even. So that speaks to how popular you were
among the fan base. No. That's not what we were talking about. What I was saying was I was not more popular than him.
Okay.
You're just saying there's just as many,
because
if not
people,
more.
People, when they bring it up, they make it seem like, oh my God, Carlos was the god, and this poor pauper came up. That's not what happened.
Poor pauper.
That's not who it was. This was a very, very famous guy, you know, who people knew about.
Would you go on his podcast if he asked you?
I have no problem with anybody, dude. Yeah. I never have.
I just see, you know, like, it, you know, because you are.
I didn't break any of those rules.
Right.
Right. Like when I was young as a comic, we dealt with. Oh, here's the irony. Do you remember the incident? I think it was last year where an Asian comedian who was performing in Austin, Texas, posted that the person that went on after him said some racist stuff.
Yeah.
The people in the camp that have been talking so negatively about me, I literally heard a podcast where they went, man, you're supposed to deal with that comic to comic. You don't put it on the internet. These are the same people that for decades have been sitting around talking about me and that incident, which was supposed to stay at the Comedy Store between us. So what it is I was a young, arrogant, cocky kid who came from the hood. And I did, you know, when you grow up in the hood, you don't realize that you have an attitude.
Yeah.
You don't, because everybody has an attitude.
Because it's your environment.
Right? It's your environment. Yep. And plus, listen, what got me in trouble as a comedian is what allowed me to not get shot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right? I had the attitude of, if we're going to fight, kill me.
Yeah.
Because if you don't kill me, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your family, and I'm going to burn your house down.
That's strong.
Because if I'm going to go to jail for life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to jail for killing one person. I'm going to go to jail for killing your whole family.
So that makes sense.
When I said stuff like that, people were like, damn, he means it. But yeah, because, you know, I lived in a neighborhood where if a car came by slow, we all had to dive because it was a drive-by.
Right.
You know, I remember I was doing an interview with Nightline way back in the day, and we were in the projects where I grew up, and I go, oh yeah, we used to play right here. And then I remember a few times where they did a drive-by and shot at us. And I said it so casually that they were like, come on. And I was like, no, seriously. They used to shoot. There used to be bullet holes over here. And we went and looked, and I literally went, oh my God, hey, look. And I pulled one out, and there was a bullet stuck into the side of the wall. And I go, oh, look, here's a bullet. And they were just like, oh my God, this is real. I'm like, yeah, it's real. But they expected me to be like, let me tell you how horrible it was when I was growing up. People were shooting at us. And, I mean, it was part of life.
Yeah.
You know, I've held people, you know, I held a person in my arms when they gave their last breath. I saw a man shoot another man. I saw a dude get a machete and carve up another dude. I mean, I've had a crazy life, dude. And so, you know, when comedy became kind of one of those things where, especially at the Comedy Store where it's dark and there's this feeling of like we're all trying to get Mitzi Shore's attention, and if she gives us the attention and if I get a good spot and there's a producer, you know what I mean? That competitiveness.
Right.
It was so right up my alley.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I was alienating everybody and hurting everybody's feelings.
Probably a little bit different now with comics and the internet. Instead of trying to impress a Mitzi Shore, you can go like, well, just as long as I get, you know, 100 likes on this or 1,000 likes on this, I should be able to get a deal.
Right.
You know, or, I mean, you know what, it doesn't even matter because I'm making money. I've monetized my YouTube channel.
Right.
So I don't, you know, it's a different world.
But it's a cool world because, you know, I needed a Mitzi Shore.
Mm.
Or like everybody when I was coming up had a 4-minute clean set. Had to have it. Right? Had to have it. Mm. Because that was the 4 minutes that you knew you were going to do with the Tonight Show or Letterman called.
Right, yeah. Wow.
Today, they don't need that. Today, you know, you put a camera back there and you talk to the audience a little bit and you get a 1-minute little clip and you put it out there and where do you live? What do you do for a living? Hey, look at this guy with his shirt, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Put it out there and it works and you bypass everybody. And then you call the comedy club here and go, hey, my name is Jack whatever. My name is Jack Johnson. I want to perform at the club. Who are you?
Love Jack.
Google me. Seriously. Google me.
You don't
and
need
then
a
when they Google
card.
You and they go, oh my God, he has 1.8 million followers on TikTok. Come, we'll give you a Wednesday and a Thursday. Let's see how that works out.
Right.
Bypassing every single thing that I couldn't bypass back in those days because we needed the HBOs to tell us you're going to get a special. Today, you can shoot your own special and put it on YouTube.
Well, let me say this. I got to cut you off. We got to go. I have mad respect that you're wearing a hat for my buddy, Mike Calta. He's a radio personality in Tampa, and I think that's cool when comedians wear the merch from other radio shows. So we'll have to take a picture and send that over to him. I think that's cool. And you didn't even know you were wearing it.
I wear it all the time. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You didn't even know you were wearing it to hear,
though. I did not. You said something about my head. I was like, what are you talking about? I saw it. I just grabbed the hat from the floor and put it up. And look, you could tell, by the way, that I wear it too much.
Oh, it's beat up.
Because you could see. You could see the brown sweat line right here.
We're getting hats in next week. I'm going to send you one. All right, at Carlos Mencia online, The Punchline this weekend, tonight. He's got a show tomorrow, two shows, Saturday, two shows. You can go to punchlinesac.com for tickets, and it's a fantastic place. We were just there the other week for the first time since we've been in Sacramento, but thanks for coming in. Thanks for spending the time. It's good to see you again, man. I'm glad that
you too, man. You're happy. Glad to see you're kicking it. You're kicking butt, dude.
Yeah, well, I had to move across country to continue to do that, but we are here. So anyway, at Carlos Mencia, give him a like, give him a share, give him a follow, give us a minute. Hang on.
And I did. You know, when you grow up in the hood, you don't realize that you have an attitude.
Yeah.
You don't, because everybody has an attitude.
Because it's your environment.
Right? It's your environment. Yep. And plus, listen, what got me in trouble as a comedian is what allowed me to not get shot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right? I had the attitude of, if we're going to fight, kill me.
Yeah.
Because if you don't kill me, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your family, and I'll burn your house down.
That's strong.
Because if I'm going to go to jail for life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to jail for killing one person. I'm going to go to jail for killing your whole family.
So that makes sense somewhere.
And when I said stuff like that, people were like, damn, he means it. But yeah, because, you know, I lived in a neighborhood where if a car came by slow, we all had to dive because it was a driveway.
Right.
You know, I remember I was doing an interview with Nightline way back in the day, and we were in the projects where I grew up, and I go, oh yeah, we used to play right here. And then I remember a few times where they did a drive-by and shot at us. And I said it so casually that they were like, come on. And I was like, no, seriously. They used to shoot. There used to be bullet holes over here. And we went and looked, and I literally went, oh my God, hey, look. And I pulled one out, and there was a bullet stuck into the side of the wall. And I go, oh look, here's one. Here's a bullet. And they were just like, oh my God, this is real. I'm like, yeah, it's real. But they expected me to be like, let me tell you how horrible it was when I was growing up. People were shooting at us. And, I mean, it was part of life.
Yeah.
You know, I've held people, you know, I held a person in my arms when they gave their last breath. I saw a man shoot another man. I saw a dude get a machete and carve up another dude. I mean, I've had a crazy life, dude. And so, you know, when comedy became kind of one of those things where, especially at the Comedy Store where it's dark and there's this feeling of like, we're all trying to get Mitzi Shore's attention. And if she gives us the attention and if I get a good spot and there's a producer, you know what I mean? That competitiveness.
Right.
It was so right up my alley. Yeah. I didn't realize that I was alienating everybody and hurting everybody's feelings.
Probably a little bit different now with comics and the internet. Instead of trying to impress a Mitzi Shore, you can go like, well, just as long as I get, you know, 100 likes on this or 1,000 likes on this, I should be able to get a deal,
right?
You know, or I mean, you know what, it doesn't even matter because I'm making money, I've monetized my YouTube channel, right. So I don't, you know, it's a different world,
but it's a cool world because, you know, I needed Mitzi Shore. Or like everybody when I was coming up had a 4-minute clean set, had to have it because that was the 4 minutes that you knew you were going to do if the Tonight Show or Letterman called.
Right, yeah. Well,
today, they don't need that. Today, you know, you put a camera back there and you talk to the audience a little bit and you get a 1-minute little clip and you put it out there and where do you live? What do you do for a living? Hey, look at this guy with his shirt, whatever that is. Yeah. Put it out there and it works and you bypass everybody. And then you call the comedy club here and go, hey, my name is Jack whatever. My name is Jack Johnson. I want to perform at the club. Who are you?
Love Jack.
Google me. Seriously. Google me.
You don't need a business card.
And then when they Google you and they go, oh my God, he has 1.8 million followers on TikTok. Come, we'll give you a Wednesday and a Thursday. Let's see how that works out.
Right.
Bypassing every single thing that I couldn't bypass back in those days because we needed the HBOs to tell us you're going to get a special. Today, you can shoot your own special and put it on YouTube.
Well, let me say this. I got to cut you off. We got to go. I have mad respect that you're wearing a hat for my buddy, Mike Calta. He's a radio personality in Tampa, and I think that's cool when comedians wear the merch from other radio shows. So we'll have to take a picture and send that over to him. I think that's cool. And you didn't even know you were wearing it.
I wear it all the time. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You didn't even know you were wearing it to hear
that. I did not. I did not. You said something about my head. I was like, what are you talking about? I saw it. I just grabbed the hat from the floor and put it on. And look, you could tell by the way that I wear it too much.
Oh, it's beat up.
Because you could see, you could see the brown sweat line right here.
We're getting hats in next week. I'm going to send you one. All right. At Carlos Mencia online, The Punchline this weekend tonight. He's got a show tomorrow, two shows Saturday, two shows. You can go to punchlinesac.com for tickets, and it's a fantastic place. We were just there the other week for the first time since we've been in Sacramento, but thanks for coming in. Thanks for spending the time. It's good to see you again, man. I'm glad that
you too, man.
You're happy.
Glad to see you're kicking butt, dude.
Yeah, well, I had to move across country to continue to do that, but we are here. So anyway, at Carlos Mencia, give him a like, give him a share, give him a follow. Give us a minute. Hang on.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.